Caro, Doctor, ER. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. March 31st, 1900. Dear Brother, since coming home from Geelong, I have passed two sleepless nights. I have been instructed by the Lord that the present time is of great importance to the cause in this country. The Lord has shown me that your education and life practice has not been such as to fit you in all respects for the position of leader in the work to be accomplished for this time. It was not the Lord who led you to pursue the course you followed in Maitland. You stood before large congregations of people at the Newcastle and Maitland camp meetings. The Lord introduced you to the people. He gave you special help as you stood before them. He gave you words to speak. You were under His theocracy. He blessed as you united with those who were working for the advancement of His cause and the glory of His name. You stood before the people as God's messenger, sent of Him. He endorsed your work. But you did not work in accordance with Him when you became so eager for the world's acknowledgement as to go through the program of being presented to the people in Maitland in accordance with the forms and customs of the world. You had already been presented in a high and holy manner. You did the cause of God in Maitland more harm than you have any idea of when you left the tent for a hall. This did more to leave an unfavorable impression on the minds of the people in regard to Seventh-day Adventists than anything else you could have done. The progress made and the influence gained before you took this step were the result of the Lord's presence with His people. The people were impressed that Seventh-day Adventists had a message from the Lord, and that they asked not the favor of any church or any worldly society, for the Lord had recognized them by giving them His power and the endorsement of His Spirit. The power that attended the message during the camp meeting in Maitland was not given by men or taught by men. It came to the people as a surprise, and conviction rested upon many hearts. The people were awakened to see duties which heretofore they had not suspected. To as many as received Him, God gave power to become His children. Elevated and ennobled by the truth, they girded up the loins of their faith to meet a higher standard than they had before thought it possible to meet. Bible truth worked to convict and convert hearts. It was brought out prominently and was presented to the people as the test for these last days. The need of obedience to all God's commandments was urged home. The people were shown the necessity of searching their hearts and drawing nearer and still nearer to the author of their salvation. They were drawn closer to God's administration. The people treated the work with awe, as something sacred, something to be reverenced, something higher than anything they had ever before seen or heard. It was credited to no human influence. The Lord caused them to have this impression. But after the tent was moved, your action in securing a hall changed this impression decidedly. Your movement was something inexplainable to them. They could not understand why you should do this. You showed decided weakness in turning to worldlings, to be introduced by men, as though the introduction and endorsement which God had given you were not sufficient. You had united with God's servants in bearing a heaven-sent message. You realized that the work of health reform was a part of the gospel, and that henceforth, in this new field, it must be recognized as one with the third angel's message. You certainly were not moved by the Holy Spirit when you separated from the work that was being carried on in its time. You turned from God, who had manifested his mighty power in behalf of his people. You acted as if you had divorced yourself from God. Your weakness was seen by the heavenly universe and by the world. But I do not think you understand the sin of this course. Oh, if you only knew how weak you appeared, and how strange and feeble were the movements you made when you turned from your stronghold, the Lord God Almighty, to grasp at human methods in order to bring yourself into notice and to exalt yourself. You were shorn of your strength. These words were spoken to you by my instructor. Oh, that thou hadst known, even thou in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. It is better for my people to trust in me than to put confidence in princes, however honorable or exalted they may be. You need to humble yourself. I gave you all the influence with the people that you could bear, but you forgot that I was your helper, and put your trust in worldly wise men. After this scene was presented before me, I was told that the work the Lord would do for our people would be marred in its presentation in the future by your example, your desire to pattern after the world, your extravagant ideas. The testimony you bear by your desire for display is directly and decidedly opposed to the word of the Lord and the example of Christ. You are not to work in conformity to the world, binding yourself to the Lord. Since coming from Geelong, I have been instructed that your example is not such as will be acceptable to God. It has not the right influence upon the workers in the sanitarium. The words were spoken. Dr. Caro will leave an impression upon the minds of the people, which is directly opposed to the word of the Lord and the counsel he has given. I was instructed to say to you, you are not a safe leader. There must be connected with the sanitarium men of experience in the truth, who will counteract the wrong influence of the desire for show and display, which is deleterious to the work of the gospel, and which testifies that you have important lessons to learn. The worldly attitude you take, the desire for worldly policy, for show and display which you reveal, has no part in the work for this time. Satan will take advantage of this to lead you to scatter away from Christ. By your fruits you are denying him. Dr. Caro, you need to be more deeply converted to the truth, else you will fail of obtaining the experience which you need. At present, you are certainly not following the footsteps of Christ in all your ways. This order of things must be changed. Your practice must correspond with the Word of God. Unless a transformation takes place in you, you will fail to exert the right influence. You need to know the meaning of self-renunciation. Then you will be prepared for transformation of character. You are now spiritually blind. You need to heed Paul's injunction to the Romans, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12, verse 1, 2. I am certainly alarmed at the outlook. It seems to be ingrained into your experience that you must depend on display and outward show and pretense and the opinions of men for success. These are of no value in God's sight. They are a positive hindrance to his work. You think that in order to have influence, you must get above the simplicity of Christ. Listen to the words of the Savior. "He that will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Mark 8, verse 34. You are not to follow any worldly guide. You are not to follow your own standard. You are to follow the Bible standard. While viewing things as you do, you could not be a safe leader in the sanitarium work, for you could not give the right mold to the institution. God forbid that the sanitarium should be such as you would make it, unless you see the need of receiving Christ. If your influence continues to be the same as it is at the present time, you will make the work exceedingly hard for those whom the Lord is leading, to whom He is saying, "Follow me." You cannot be left to follow your own wisdom and judgment. Motives are mighty in influence, and it is of the highest importance that the motives of those who are doing the work of the Lord be pure and noble. It is the Lord's purpose to have a people who appreciate His grace and salvation, a people who will not exchange the strength of the God of Israel for the weakness of men who know not the truth for this time. When will those who claim to know the truth, which works by love to God and sanctifies and purifies the soul, live this truth? If God has chosen you to be an educator, a physician of the soul as well as the body, He has given you your work. You are to learn of Christ and walk in His footsteps. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, grafted by God into Christ, the living vine, that you may bring forth much fruit, not to your own glory, but to the glory of His name. Your only hope is to connect with Christ. Do not link up with worldlings. This Dr. Burke did. He soon ran his course and is still surrounded with darkness like the darkness of midnight. It is natural for the human mind to appreciate the seen above the unseen. But the men who undertake the work you have undertaken must carry it in Christ's lines and in Christ's way, not in their own way or the way of the world. Your safety lies in depending on Christ and counseling with your brethren. Without Christ, you are a weak man. Link up with the great teacher as you have never done before, and then you will be safe. Withdraw from him, as you certainly are doing, making unbelievers your strength, and after a time you will separate from all responsibility in the work, for you will not be capable of leading others in the path of righteousness. My brother, I desire that your light shall not go out, but that it shall be like the bright light of a candle set in a candlestick, which gives light to all that are in the house. I am pained beyond measure as I see your danger, as I see how readily you turn from the source of all wisdom and power and efficiency to human help. Your education in spiritual lines is deficient. You choose human aid in preference to divine guidance. If you continue to do this, you will disconnect from God and from His power. If you have chosen the weakness of humanity to sustain you, to give you strength and influence, God will let you have your choice. But you cannot then be long connected with our sanitarium, for you will set a wrong example before those with whom you are connected. You will give lessons which should not be given to the young men and young women in our institutions. God will hold us accountable who know what wrong tendencies and practices will bring upon our sanitarium. Therefore, I tell you now that you are following a course which, if continued, will sever your connection with the sanitarium. God has condemned the inclination on the part of His people to display an extravagance in the outlay of means, and He will not sustain you in following such a course. Therefore, I speak decidedly. Your feet must be turned into the narrow way cast up for the ransomed of the Lord. You need a better knowledge of Christ. God would have no one deceived. Therefore, the warning comes: enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 15. There are false teachers who at first appear to be very interesting, but but soon they are shown to be trees which bear corrupt fruit. Christ says, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." Do men gather grapes of thorn or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast unto the fire. Whereby, by their fruits, ye shall know them. Verses 16 to 20. I speak the truth. Those who feel their danger and realize the responsibility of having a knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus will labor most successfully to advance the interests of the gospel. In order to help others, we must ourselves receive help from on high. If you would act savingly toward your fellow men, you must be very critical toward yourself, allowing no taint of worldliness to rest upon your life. Your only safety is in heeding the warnings and cautions which have been given you. Shun the dangers pointed out. Plead for the righteousness of Christ, that you may set a right example before all with whom you come in contact. Those who have exalted views of Christ will have humble views of themselves. They will not dare to take themselves in their own hands. When you feel as you should feel, when your eyes are anointed with the heavenly anointing, you will see that the test of true religion is obedience to the will of God. When you depend entirely upon Christ as your personal Savior, saying and acting the words, "The Lord our righteousness," Jeremiah 23, verse 6, you will do God's will from the heart. You will not disappoint your Savior. Self-denial and self-sacrifice will be rewarded as the fruit borne by the true Christian. Christ, the majesty of heaven, laid aside his royal robe and kingly crown and stepped down from his position in the heavenly courts. He clothed his divinity with humanity, that he might give men and women an example of the life that they must live in order to be sons and daughters of God. For our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. He says, "He that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8, verse 34. This is the gospel receipt for finding the precious, health-giving recipe of Christ.
Our obligations to God are greater than the obligations of a child to its earthly father. We are to do our duty in every respect to our relatives, but never are we to allow them to hinder us from obeying the requirements of God. When men feel that they need Christ above all else, they will have such earnest, living faith that the trials which come to them through the opposition of their relatives will bring them closer to God. They will study their pattern closely, striving earnestly to do the works of the great teacher. Such men and women are living epistles, known and read of all men. Let the soul go out after Christ. He has such infinite fullness that he can give his children the riches of his grace and all the qualifications they need for his service. Dr. Caro, the Lord wants you to pursue a course different from the course you have pursued in the past. Drop some of the burdens you have taken and give yourself a chance to perfect a Christian character. You are to give the light of the truth to others, ever seeking, ever receiving, ever imparting, working in all simplicity through the sanctification of the Spirit. I must tell you that there must be connected with the sanitarium to stand at the head as business manager, a man of experience in the truth. This is a positive necessity. At the time of the last union conference, I was shown that if the financial management were left to you, you would, when money was plentiful, spend all the income of the sanitarium, leaving nothing upon which to fall back when money was not so plentiful. The nurses in the sanitarium should be under the charge of a matron who can be a guide and counselor to them. The physicians, instead of being careless and familiar, should act wisely and discreetly, living out the word of God in every respect. Our sanitarium must not be made a subject of criticism because of the careless familiarity shown by the physicians to the nurses. Dr. Caro, your soul needs a true conversion. When enlightened and renewed by the Holy Spirit, you will no longer trust in self, but with the simplicity of a little child, you will depend wholly on Christ, looking to Him to give you success in presenting the principles of true temperance. You will then see that success does not depend on external appearances, but upon the connection you have with God. Your great battle will be with yourself, but through faith in Christ, you may become one with Him. The outside interests you have taken up might better be dropped. You have more than you can carry if you would preserve a healthy balance.